This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to this week's Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and today we're going to get the takeaway from a recently released report card and its findings from the Children's Environmental Health Network. We're going to explore how those findings can be used to make improvements. What we can say with certainty is the environmental conditions in many areas throughout Michigan adversely impact the health of our children. What is uncertain is exactly what is going to be done about it. Our guest this morning is Tina Reynolds, and Tina is Program Director of Environmental Health for the Michigan Environmental Council, and thank you so much for the time today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Before we get into specifics, I want to look at the manner in which the report card study was conducted. Michigan, Minnesota, and North Carolina were the states that were explored. Why were those three states chosen?
That's a really good question, David, and I reached out to the organization. I was curious as well. We're kind of spread around a geographic area, and it was a funding constraint. They were able to leverage some funding for these key states, and that was part of the metrics of why the states were chosen.
And why is Michigan considered one of the key states?
Michigan is an industrial state. We have large population centers. We have unique challenges. We have the Great Lakes. We have an abundance of natural resources and fresh water. So I think that those were some of the criteria that were used and why we were selected.
So in the broad sense, how does Michigan grade out?
With the three states that they looked at, Michigan fell somewhere in the middle. We have a higher portion of our water utilities with some kind of a violation. We are about in the middle with our kids in poverty. We lag behind air quality with some states. And nationally, I know that the U.S. News and World Report did a study recently, and Michigan fell at 38 out of 50 states. And so routinely we see Michigan falling in the bottom third in relation to pollution and health or the middle of the pack. And I think we can all agree that's not where we want to find ourselves.
We can certainly agree on that. Now, when it comes to the environmental conditions that pose the greatest threat to the health of our children, what do we find those are? What do we see?
A variety of impacts because they all have a cumulative effect on children's health. Basic ones, of course, are access to clean, safe drinking water, access to healthy food, the ability to walk and travel and bike and play safely for our kids. We are also looking at contamination, land contamination, contaminated sites. All of those things lead to poor adverse health outcomes for our kids.
And when we talk about that, how is it manifesting itself in children's health? What are the ramifications? Where are we seeing higher issues of adverse health impacts?
I know there are definitely areas in Michigan that have high asthma burdens above our national averages. In urban areas like Detroit and other areas, we are out of attainment for some criteria pollutants, including ozone, which puts health at risk. So indoor air quality, outdoor air quality are big factors. We read a lot about water quality, both PFAS and lead and copper rule. And so we know that our drinking water quality puts folks at risk here. So there's a variety of exposure pathways that we have.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking environmental impacts on children's health with Tina Reynolds. Tina's Program Director of Environmental Health for the Michigan Environmental Council. Tina, I think it's also pretty clear that, and you mentioned the word poverty, that income disparity does play a role in where we are seeing the biggest health impacts. What role, in your estimation, does poverty play in exposure and health outcomes?
Poverty plays a big role. 20% of Michigan's kids do live in poverty and struggle. Poverty impacts where you live, the condition of your home. Is your home safe? Is it free of mold and moisture and contaminants? Where you locate your property, is it a safe place? Do you have ability, parks, recreation opportunities, ability to travel safely? Poverty also impacts food and food access. 400,000 Michigan kids struggle with access to healthy food. And so all of those factors are related to poverty and income disparity and all have a significant impact on the health of Michigan's children.
I don't want to gloss over it because that was huge. You mentioned 20% of Michigan's children, of which there are about 2.2 million in the state. One in five of our kids lives in areas that are riskier when it comes to air, water, and land qualities and the issues of poverty playing a role in their health outcomes. Now, when it comes to the environmental issues in specific, the current federal administration is rolling back or trying to roll back some of the more stringent regulations that have been put in place over the past two decades. Is this a problem then with our children that's going to get worse before it gets better?
If these federal changes go through, I would agree with that assessment. I think that there's a lot we can do to help ensure that they don't. But yes, any kind of loosening of current standards is definitely a step back. Science is evolving. We should be moving in the other direction. We're beginning to recognize the connection between contaminants and exposure and direct ramifications on health. And so as the science becomes more evolved, so should our regulations. So any rollback of regulations is a giant disservice. You know, Michigan families and nationwide.
You know, it's interesting. Since I've been doing this show, and it's been 25 years now, we've spent a lot of time highlighting many of the improvements we've seen in air, land, and water quality over the past two decades. But as you mentioned, the science is evolving. We're becoming more educated. We're conducting more in-depth research, and we're finding those new problems like PFAS contamination. So does that change the forecast for the future health, or is it an opportunity that we're not quite taking full advantage of yet?
I think it remains to be seen. I know that there is a lot of coverage on emerging contaminants, and we're finding our response is almost like a whack-a-mole kind of response where, you know, every couple of months we read about a new threat. I mean, you know, it's BPA and can linings, it's PFAS in our cookware and stain retardants, it's lead in our pipes and in our drinking fountains, and it's really hard to keep up. I mean, I think that the evolving science and the sophistication, you know, being able to look at contaminants and directly link them to human health is giving us information and power to make positive changes. And I think we need to keep up on our policymakers to make sure that this information is put into practice. And that our standards are more protective as we learn more.
And, of course, that will come down to political will. Once again, this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and our conversation with Tina Reynolds continues. Let's talk about political will. Given the current political landscape in both Washington and Lansing, do you see that will exist to create a path forward to better environmental health outcomes?
I am hopeful, but I urge caution and diligence. I think that public awareness and pressure on policymakers is definitely needed. But we see both on the state and federal level some forward progress. We have our congressional delegation right now introducing a variety of information and legislation on PFAS. And, you know, that will benefit the country and the state of Michigan. So we see specific opportunities to work across party lines. Here at the Environmental Council, we are nonpartisan, and we look at health and children's health and the environment as an equal opportunity battlefield, that it shouldn't be a partisan issue. Children are our most precious resources, and there are lawmakers from across the aisle that agree with that and are working towards solutions.
So in this 2020 year, how is the Michigan Environmental Council going to use the report we've been referencing and your political influence to address the issue with our government bodies, both local and at the state level?
Well, we're located in Lansing, and we have a good cadre of lobbyists. And we take information like the Children's Environmental Health Network report, U.S. World Report rankings, and various materials that we get, and we help educate lawmakers, and we help push policy priorities that are protective of children's health. We are at committees testifying in support and in opposition to various laws and regulations. We keep an eye on the state budget to make sure that our funding priorities align with health and welfare and protect our land and our water and our air. And so we are front line here at Michigan Environmental Council, and we have a network of members across the state as well. They're doing work in local communities and grassroots, and so those are some of the tangible things that we're doing.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer is preparing to give her State of the State address. What is it that the Michigan Environmental Council hopes to hear as part of that when it comes to our public health and our environmental health?
Well, we'll definitely be listening closely. I know that the administration has worked really hard on environmental justice, has worked really hard on climate and energy and all which lead into health. We want to make sure that dollars continue to flow. We have competing priorities with transportation and infrastructure. And with those road dollars, we would like to see active transportation dollars for walking and biking. You know, within the DNR budget, we, of course, would like money for parks and recreation, healthy food access. You know, there's a variety of different touch points that she could mention. And we would love to see a balance between infrastructure needs and health. We think that they're linked together, and all of these issues will need to be addressed to make Michigan a healthy, safe place for everyone.
What would you characterize as the most important priority of the Michigan Environmental Council in 2020?
Oh, that's a tough one. We're doing some strategic planning right now to kind of boil it down, but I guess a bullet would be to make Michigan a safe and healthy place to work, live, and play.
The political process, as you well know, is highly bureaucratic, tends to move somewhat slowly. So while these issues are being worked out in Lansing, what can we as parents do in our homes, our neighborhoods, to better protect our children in the meantime?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because there's definitely things that we can do right now. Right now, you can educate yourself, and I would recommend that folks start at home. We spend 90% of our time indoors. You know, our homes and structures, are they free of lead, mold, moisture, pests? Do we have weatherization, energy efficiency in place? Do we have proper ventilation? You know, those are some things that we can do. Look at the consumer products that we use every day. You know, when I talked about, you know, the whack-a-mole that we find ourselves in, BPA and can lining, that's consumer product. PFAS, Teflon, StainGuard, that's a consumer product. Lead in our faucets and our pipes, that's a consumer product. Lead in paint, you know, so we as consumers have to be more savvy about what we're buying. Is this product safe? Was it manufactured in a safe way? Are the ingredients safe? Can we dispose of it safely? You know, I mean, we need to kind of cradle to grave, start looking at our environment and what we're using and what impact on health and environment these things have. There are available resources. Michigan has CDC funding, and we have a site called MI Tracking where folks can go online, and there's a variety of health conditions and environmental topics where you can put in sometimes your zip code and find out what is around you that could be causing issues for you at home, at school, and work. And a big takeaway is to continue to put pressure on policymakers when they're setting and doing their decision-making. Are they looking at health? Are they looking at children's health? Or are they looking at what is achievable? Are they looking at an economic cost? Are they weighing children's health? Are the standards protective? Are we weighing in the health costs associated with their decisions? So there's a variety of immediate, long-term, and mid-range actions that we can take along the way to protect ourselves.
And finally, 2020 is a presidential election year, but there will be elections at the local level, at the state level, at the county levels, and then, of course, at the federal level as well. Sometimes primary issues of environmental importance get lost in these big campaigns. What is going to be the push to make sure that it is among the top priority in the agendas?
We'll continue outreach and education, shows like yourself and written media, online coverage of environmental issues and the links to health, evolving science. I mean, I think we're at a critical juncture right now with information and just awareness. And so we can start putting pressure in educating policymakers. I've been working in the Capitol for close to 25 years, and the majority of people making decisions here, you know, have everyone's best interests at heart. It's just a question of priorities, and it's a question of what their constituents want them to do. And so I urge us to educate ourselves and, you know, help our decision makers help us.
Well, thank you for helping us today. I do appreciate your time and all of your insights.
Well, thank you so much.
That is
my pleasure.
That is Tina Reynolds. She is Program Director of Environmental Health for the Michigan Environmental Council and our guest on Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and it's heard each Wednesday. For more information and to visit our Issues of the Environment archive, visit our webpage at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.